Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
Let us pray. Holy God, open our eyes to your presence. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to your love. Amen. Please be seated. On this first Sunday in Lent, we begin the observance of the season, as we always do, with the theme of temptation. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell of a wilderness period where Jesus, immediately following his baptism, is led by the Spirit, or in the case of Mark's Gospel, driven by the Spirit, into a lengthy sojourn of prayer, fasting, and temptation. The realities of temptation and sin are very apparent in our readings from Genesis, Matthew's Gospel, and even our collect today. In Genesis, we witness how temptation toward evil led Adam and Eve to act in a way that was faithless, led them to sin. This act distorted humankind's relationship with God and with all creation. And in our gospel reading, Jesus shows how he relied on the faith in God's word and authority. And we prayed, Almighty God, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. We ask God to be our strength and guide when we're faced with temptation and sin. In the passage immediately preceding our gospel text for today, God affirmed Jesus at his baptism as God's own son. And in that passage, we are told that God was pleased with Jesus. But immediately following this scene, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It is in the wilderness that Jesus must face the powerful assaults on these truths. In the wilderness, Jesus is tempted to please someone other than God. We follow Jesus into the wilderness and watch as the Son of God confronts the fullness of his humanity. As our gospel text notes, Jesus is famished after 40 days of fasting. Physically, he's at the end of his strength. Socially, he is alone without human companionship. Spiritually, he is struggling to hang on to his identity as the glow of his baptism recedes into a pre-wilderness memory. And it's in this state of vulnerability that the tempter comes, ready to pull Jesus away from his beloved status and his future ministry. One of the most interesting things about our gospel story of Jesus in the wilderness is that there were no witnesses noted in the unfolding drama. Jesus must have told the disciples because he hoped that they would remember and share this moment of his life as a model for his followers, present and future, on how to confront temptation. The gospel tells us that Jesus didn't choose to enter the wilderness. The Spirit led him there. Jesus didn't aimlessly wander into the wilderness on his own. But the amazing thing is that Jesus chose to stay until the work of the wilderness was over. We don't always choose to enter the wilderness either. We don't volunteer for pain or loss or danger or terror. But the wilderness happens. And we may ask in this context, what does it mean to be tempted? It is to be pulled away from the purpose for which we were created. To live in God, to be one with God, to delight in God, to love God with all that we are, heart, soul, and mind. Temptation is part and parcel of the human condition, and we do ourselves a disservice when we minimize it and its impact on our lives. Temptation has been described as a wedge. And in the world of physics, in the mechanical world, there is no more powerful application than the wedge. Once you get its thin edge into a small opening, it's only a matter of time and force as to how far the wedge can split things apart. The hardest stone, the toughest wood, no matter, nothing is able to resist the power of the wedge to drive it apart. Jesus knew the power of temptation to destroy our relationship with God, even as he is tested by some of the impulses of human history, the love of power and wealth and prestige. Jesus confronted each, reflecting that he stood with his love of God. Today, we must ask ourselves, where do we stand? With God or with the world? Concerning power, do we use it for personal gain or for the betterment of all, especially the vulnerable in our society and in our midst? With wealth, does the desire for profit and comfort come at the expense of those locked in poverty, economic hardship, often relegated to live in environmental disaster areas? Do we use our prestige and position to dominate others, only concerned with what others may think of us, rather than using our influence to challenge and change iniquities? We're tempted all the time to choose the easy way when we realize how hard it is to forgive the guilty, listen to the lonely, and share what we have with the poor. It's much easier to settle for a tepid faith that fails to confront the systems that support injustice and oppression. We get so used to choosing what's easiest that we seldom consider the hard way of sacrifice. But sacrifice is the lesson before us today as we pay attention to the choices Jesus makes in the wilderness. He chooses hunger and deprivation over fullness and satisfaction, danger and uncertainty over angelic rescue and safety, humility over honor and distinction. Jesus will not take the easy way out. Jesus knew temptation's allure for the human heart, and he knew the solution was not simply willpower. The key to overcoming the devil is more than to just say no. It would be so simple if that were the case. No, it's not our willpower, but God's power. It is not our resolve, but God's spirit. The Apostle Paul knew this truth reflected in his words, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." The key to dealing with temptation is not found within us. The key to overcoming temptation is found in God. Immediately after Jesus came out of the wilderness, he began his ministry. And whenever we emerge from our wilderness experiences, we are called to do the same. And sometimes that will mean choosing to step into the wilderness to help someone find their way. Today is the last Sunday in Black History Month, a time when we remember and celebrate the stories of generations of Black Americans who struggled with a history of oppression and injustice as they tried to achieve full citizenship in this country. This is important because Black history is American history. And for so long, the stories of Black women and men have been overlooked, undertold, ignored altogether, or stolen for the comfort of majority culture. The impact of systemic racism continues to leave communities trapped and caught in perpetual wildernesses, where life is difficult and death is dominant. That is why the work of this cathedral to include, expand, and represent those stories and their images in this sacred space is so important, as it stands in contrast to the efforts of states across this country to erase the narratives and cultures of my people. People who look like me, who have the legacy of enslavement in our family lineage. But racism isn't the only wilderness journey we've experienced as a society. There's the devastating wilderness of violence within our city and nation. There are the wildernesses of homelessness, food insecurity, lack of health care, unemployment and underemployment, failing educational systems, and an unjust criminal justice system. But I'm here today to say that there is still good news. There is still good news. With all these wildernesses. Because the wilderness is not a place abandoned by God. The wilderness is not a place devoid of Jesus. There is hope, for there is one who made it through the wilderness, faced temptation, and overcame. There is one who promises to strengthen us to make it through our wilderness times and to come out on the other side. There is one who stands ready to come to our aid. Yes, one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. The wilderness does not seem so relentless, so crushing, so devastating, so final, when we know that Jesus has entered it with us. And Jesus always points us to God. A God of love, a God who knows our weaknesses and failings and loves us anyway. And so today I invite you to trust that God will see you through your own wilderness and any temptations that come your way as you journey through this Lenten season. Amen.